everything in between. But we're not stopping there. We're also tossing in some Patriots pigskin, gaming glory, dad jokes, and all things pop culture. Because why the hell not? It's our show. As two diehard Bruins fans who also happen to strap on the pads in beer league hockey, they know a thing or two about the game. Whether you're a longtime hockey lunatic like us, or just looking for a good time, you're in the right place. This is the Two Pad Stack. Now your hosts, Ace and Burge.
Welcome to episode 37 of the Two Pad Stack podcast. I'm your host, Ace, alongside my wonderful co-host, as is tradition, Burge. How's it going, buddy?
What's happening? Dude, I've had the last 6 days off. It's flown by, unfortunately, but it's been glorious not having to, you know, go to the office and work all the time. Got on the ice this weekend.
Did you?
Had my college alumni hockey game where a bunch of my friends, we do it every April, came in. I decided to forget how to cover a five hole. Everybody was just putting them between my legs and I couldn't close my legs.
Yeah
I don't know why.
Your mom has that same problem.
She's a nice lady.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
No, but it was a great time getting back on the ice with the guys that I, you know, play college hockey with.
Awesome.
Ben, pretty much only see a lot of them once a year at this game. And this is the second year that we've done it. So it was a good time. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Actually, we just had our first hockey banquet, youth hockey banquet. Amelia and I went there and they called the second year Bantams, which are the last kids that are involved in Rochester youth hockey, up onto the stage. And they were thanking them for, you know, because they basically had played in the system since they were intro to hockey, like 6-7 years old. Now they're up there. Some of those kids were taller than me. They're like 6'2". I'm like, holy smokes. And then they brought the intro kids over while the second year Bantams were still up there. And the second year Bantams gave all the intro kids their medals for their participation, which is really kind of cool. You know, as they're leaving the program, the new kids are going up. It's kind of like the passing of the torch a little bit. So it was a really good time. It was really cool for Amelia to be exposed to the youth hockey culture a little bit more and see how many kids there are that are involved in the local hockey community, which is really cool. So that was a great time. Mimi got her first Rochester Blackhawks beanie and she's been wearing it nonstop. She's really embraced the rink rat kind of lifestyle now. So
that's awesome.
I think I'm in the deep end at this point.
Oh yeah. You're in the long haul now, man. Open that checkbook. Bye-bye weekends, all at the hockey rink. I mean, I look forward to being able to do that. I wouldn't have it any other way. My parents tell me it was so expensive when I was coming up doing it. I'm sure it was the same for you when you started playing, and it's like, wouldn't change a thing. You got to get to the point where she starts going away on tournaments. Then you can have some fun.
We're starting to do that already. First years, we're going to be doing like jamborees and stuff. And like, we won't go far, but like Biddeford, Maine and Massachusetts and stuff. So It's going to be a fun year. And, you know, she does have her, you know, girls hockey camp at UNH planned and everything. So it'll be good. I'm looking forward for the summer and disassociating from hockey for a little bit, though.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I'll get off the ice and not touch it for a while, which will be good. But we'll be back there before we know it. I know I'm already talking to the rink here in Rochester about hooking up, you know, the brewery with advertising stuff and putting maybe some of their branding up on the boards there at Rochester Ice Arena, which would be a lot of, would be pretty cool, but we'll see. Before we get too much further, quick reminder, we do have our wonderful sponsors here that are bringing this episode to you. And my dogs have opinions. My wife is on the road right now. So she is down on a trip. And I am here with my two kids that are being very respectful. My three dogs don't quite agree with that mantra, though. So they're all wrestling right outside my studio.
Beautiful background noise. Beautiful background noise.
Wonderful. Yeah, there you go, guys. That was Berg, Zelda, and Bjorn, our guests for today's episode. They don't have a lot to say, but what they do, they're very passionate about. our sponsors for today's episode are good friends at DraftKings. Promo code THPN. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. Go ahead and work with them. Drop that promo code in there. Get that freebie. You can go ahead and enjoy some perks that way. As always, we're still working with our friends over at SeatGeek. NHL playoffs are upon us. They start on the 20th. Rumor has it the Bruins will be dropping the puck at TD Garden on the 20th. So check out your playoff hockey tickets through SeatGeek. Enter in promo code 2PADSTACKPODCAST. Sorry, that's 2PADSTACKPOD. 2PADSTACKPOD. Save a little bit of cash off your tickets. And then finally, we actually have a new sponsor that is in the podcast this week. We're super excited to officially partnership with a company called Iron and Steel. And what they are is they're a hockey apparel and lifestyle company that is got some, they have some really cool merch, some good sweatshirts, t-shirts, accessories, hats, all this good stuff. They've got stuff for people that even aren't players. Like they've got like hockey mom, hockey dad, hockey bro, hockey sister stuff. And then there's stuff for the actual players as well, obviously. I'm very interested in, a big fan of the goalie section.
Mm-hmm.
There is. They have some really cool stickers and stuff and hats and shirts for the goalies. But the best part about Iron and Steel is that when you purchase items from them, a portion of every sale is donated to youth hockey programs and making youth hockey more accessible to families. Hockey's an expensive sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that firsthand. Our parents went through it. I'm going through it right now as a parent. Berge will go through it when his boys are ready to play. It's not easy to get through. And I know you guys are saying, oh, Ace, you're playing the world's smallest violin. I already have three kids in youth hockey. You have no idea. You're right. I don't, but I will. I'll find out. I'm on my way. So take a gander, Iron and Steel. You can find them at ironsteelthreads.com. And once again, go ahead and use our promo code. That's the number 2PADSTACK10. That's 2PADSTACK10 to save 10% off your purchase. Anyways, light week for the Boston Bruins this week.
Mm-hmm.
Not much going on there.
Definitely.
That was an awful game against the Hurricanes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, kind of surprising considering how they played against Carolina on the road just a week before. They kind of dominated them and come home, and it was the exact opposite. They kind of just got pantsed, like they weren't ready. Classic letdown type of game. You know, the Bruins are in a position now. They're in the playoffs. There's not really a whole heck of a lot they can do with seeding at this point. So that's what I'll kind of hopefully chalk it up to. If you had any more thoughts on it, but I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. We're kind of in a little bit of no man's land right now with the Bruins with, you know, the end of the regular season coming. You're hoping nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's kind of where you're at, but you're also trying to balance that while keeping the intensity up to go into the playoffs on a good note. And obviously that was a bad note. That game was a bad game. But
it was awful. And I think a lot of it was, I mean, I think you're right. Like the Bruins already know they're in. They're coming off of a really good game. And I don't know if they needed like a little dose of reality, like that you can't just coast into the playoffs. Like, the other good teams are still really good teams. And just because you beat the Hurricanes like 5 days before doesn't mean it's going to be an easy process for you. And they kind of, they didn't do themselves any favors in that game, I don't think either. Like they played right into where Carolina is really strong. The Carolina Hurricanes have a very mobile back end. Their defensemen are quick to engage. Their forwards are also very quick on the back check. So what you need to do is you need to get the puck deep and you need to move your feet and force them to make mistakes on the forecheck. The Bruins were not quick on the forecheck whatsoever. And I don't know what the reason for that was. Maybe they just didn't have the energy level. I don't really think that's a good enough excuse with how much time they had off, but it just wasn't there. And the Hurricanes had plenty of time. Whenever the Bruins dumped it in deep, it seemed like they had an extra like 4 seconds more than what they should have. And those players are far too intelligent with the puck to allot that much time to them to make turnovers happen. You know, they don't have a Kevin Shattenkirk back there or a Derek Forbert that's going to cough it up arbitrarily every other shift when you put a little bit of pressure on them. Like, they have smart players. The biggest maybe risk that they have is like a Jalen Chatfield, but he's a good player. They're all good players back there. You got to apply more pressure than that. They just didn't. They didn't seem like they had that degree of effort at all that game. And I kept waiting for that next wave to come, and it just never did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a tough way to play a game too, you know. Can we talk about the Michigan?
I don't want to talk about the Michigan.
Well, I think we have to.
All right. Here we go. Burge knows that I fucking hate the Michigan.
I do too. I think it's horrible for the game of hockey.
It's not a hockey play.
It's not.
It's not. And we're not just saying that because I think we've established a little bit of credibility on our opinions of things. We're not just homers here. Burge and I say things that are not agreed upon by a lot of the Bruins fan base here. But maybe we're biased because we're goalies. Maybe. But I have a lot of respect for traditional hockey. It's the reason why I hate it when a game is resolved in the shootout. It's not a traditional hockey play. It's not a hockey play. That's not how a game should end. And the Michigan is not a hockey play. The Michigan is a circus move that some kid like Pavel Barber or whatever does on YouTube to get clicks and subscriptions. I have all the respect in the world for it. Like, that's a lot of skill. It takes a lot to do that. That's amazing. It's not a hockey play. And 90% of the time that they fucking call it a goal on the ice, this is not one. I'll be 100% honest and say this is not a scenario where this applies. But 90% of the time, it should be whistled down for a high stick because the puck goes above the crossbar. You bring it back down, but it goes above the crossbar, and it should be a high stick.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, dude. I hate I'll call them the showboat moves that you see a lot in the NHL these days that you didn't really see even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you didn't see it. I personally think it's bad for the game. I know a lot of people, probably in the minority, like nowadays when you talk about that, because a lot of people love seeing these fantastic skilled moves. The Michigan is a disrespectful play. It's disrespectful to your opponent. And you know what? You kind of hit the nail on the head. It takes an unbelievable amount of skill to be able to pull it off, especially in a full speed NHL game. Like, it takes a ton of skill to get into open space and be able to flip the puck up and do it all within that split second that you're able to do that. I'm not trying to say it's an unskilled move. I'm just saying it is flat out disrespectful to the opponent when you start doing stuff like that. And you do like the Trevor Zegras, the flip over the net, the hit out of the air for the goal. I mean, it's the same kind of thing for me. I don't like that as part of the game of hockey. It, to me, like you said, it's not a hockey play.
But still, at least like batting a puck out of the air is a hockey play. I would say flipping the puck over the net, that's not quite on the same level as like a Michigan for me. Like, I love individual skilled plays that are hockey plays. Like, that's a pass. He passed it to a teammate. That is teamwork. That is hockey. You know, a Michigan, that's not hockey. That's like
lacrosse.
It is. Like, it's and even then, like, I don't know. Like, and I blame the defenseman as well. Like, it's on the D-man. You got to get a stick on stick there. If you see Svechnikov, it's not like Svechnikov has never done this before. This is the third time he's done it. He has a scouting report on this. Like, you've got to get your stick on that stick to knock it off. It doesn't take much. All you got to do is just touch your stick to that guy's stick, and then suddenly his stick moves. Guess what? The puck isn't glued to his stick. He's using inertia. That may be a big word for some of you guys, but the stick is moving, and he needs to have that momentum continue to hold that puck onto the blade of his stick. As soon as you tap that stick and provide momentum in a different direction, that puck's going flying. So it's on the defenseman to move that stick and get your stick on a stick or get some piece of your body on that stick. You can't rely 100% on the goaltender to be there because goalies are never really 100% prepared for that because it's such a alien, non-natural play.
Yeah, and I will say after watching this one, like I did feel Swayman was a little lazy getting over to his post. Not that I don't think it would have made a difference on him stopping the Michigan, but like it seemed like he was slow and kind of lackadaisical pushing over there. So I'm not going to let him off scot-free for it, but you're right. Where the heck is the defenseman there to like even just to bury him after he puts it in, like make him earn it? You know what I mean? That's the type of play where like, dude, you're going to disrespect me and get a goal. You're going to pay the price for it. Like that's what it comes down to. That's how you would handle it in the game of lacrosse. If somebody's going to do something like that and put a ditzy dangle goal in, which happens a lot in the sport of lacrosse. I played for, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it was, but we were taught if somebody's going to come around the net and try to put something in like that, he better end the play on his ass. And that's what should have happened.
You're telling me if somebody, and I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, I would never have happened back in this, but whatever. You're telling me if somebody did that on the 2011 team, like Dennis Seidenberg, Johnny Boychuk, or Adam McQuaid wouldn't have sat that guy on his ass? They absolutely would have. Like, don't fucking try to pull that shit on us. Unbelievable.
Exactly. So, like, you pay the price. You're going to do it, you're going to pay the price for it. Congrats, you're skilled, you could do it. But you're going to feel our presence there saying we didn't like that. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. Michigan just pisses me off, man. You may say we're the old men here. We are older guys here. We may say, oh, you guys are acting like your grandpa over there. Like I get that all the time when I start chirping on these types of plays. When I talk to anybody in my sim hockey community or any of my friends, it's the same thing. But I grew up with the game. This wasn't part of the game that I grew up playing. And granted, there are things that have changed. Sure, the game's a lot faster now, but like again, it comes down to respecting your opponent to an extent. And this is a blatant, disrespectful move. And I'd be saying this if David Pastrnak pulled the Michigan and scored a goal. Yeah. I'd be saying it. I don't care who does it. I'm going to say it.
Offside review when the Bruins get a goal out of it. I fucking hate it. Like, unless it's an egregious offside, I fucking hate it. Same thing with this. If the Bruins ever hit a Michigan, I don't know if we ever will because we don't really have that skill set, but I don't like it. I don't do it. And I understand, like you said, this is the way that the hockey community and culture in the NHL is shifting. And you got all the Dylan Larkins who created YouTube videos in his garage of all these skilled plays that are now getting elevated roles and everything. It's just, I don't know. I'm a curmudgeon. I don't like it. Bruins answered that shitty game against Carolina with a decent game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh Penguins were arguably the hottest team in the NHL going into that game. I think they had like 7 wins in a row. Sidney Crosby's putting that team on his back, trying to single-handedly will that team into a postseason spot. Eric Karlsson is celebrating his 1,000th game. Wild. In the NHL.
I still forget that he plays there.
Yeah, right. I still think of him as an Ottawa Senator, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he fucked us in that first round series. Oh. He literally won that series for them. Unbelievable. But Bruins answer strong. They didn't do it like it wasn't for sure a great game the entire way around. It's not like the Bruins had it in the bag the entire time. End of the first period, 0-0. Seemed like they were just kind of feeling each other out. Mm-hmm. Second period starts, and the Bruins strike twice quick. Good to see Jake DeBrusk get on the board. Bangs home a loose puck after a strong play by Andrew Peak. He made the smart play, came down to the same boards. And it's a weak call. Sorry, I'm watching the game right now. go sit down, Ovi. Don't you have like another... like Cheetos bag and Subway to eat or whatever with your fucking road meal. Unbelievable. I don't even know. Oh, no. Andrew Peak, great play to move down the same boards, shoots the puck, gets the rebound, and Jake DeBrusk goes to where you get paid. And he puts away the loose puck right between the wickets. Bruins don't just stop there. right on the attack immediately after a faceoff win. Oh my God, my dog is still barking.
You're okay.
Yeah, we're gonna have to post photos of Bjorn there for all the listeners now.
Oh yeah.
But Bruins go right on the attack immediately after, get the puck deep, and they get a quick shot on goal. Awful rebound by Nedeljkovic, and he pops it right out front to where Pavel Zacha is. And Zacha has a beautiful shot, puts it over the glove, and puts the Bruins up 2-0 just like that. And that's a lot of adversity. Like, I got to give a lot of credit to the Pittsburgh Penguins there. Like, it'd be easy to be like, well, fuck, like, it's not our night. You'd get scored on twice just like that. Like, that's rough. But they fought back and they made it an interesting game. I'm pretty sure they scored like a minute after that 2-0 goal to make it 2-1. Do you remember?
It was,
he doesn't know off the top of it. He's looking at the box score. Don't,
it was 2 minutes. It was 2 minutes. And then they gave up, the Bruins came right back and scored a minute later. Like, there was just like a flurry of goals there.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch the game. I was at a bar with my college buddies, visiting with my buddies. So no, I did not watch this game. I will say that. I am watching the one right now, and that was a good call.
I saved by Swayman. It wasn't actually a penalty, apparently.
It should have been. But no, they seem to answer the bell in this one. This was a game, you know, again, I'm not watching it. I didn't watch it, but I am looking at the box score here. Every time the Penguins did something, they found a way to pot one right back. So they were able to do that, and they were able to answer. They did give up, you know, a 4-1 lead to make, you know, down to 4-3. But again, they answered it after that. And they were able to go up, you know, 6-3. They did give up one late, I'm guessing, with the extra attacker. But at the end of the day, this was a team in Pittsburgh that was fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their playoff lives right now. They have an outside chance to get that last spot in the East. And they needed those 2 points. And I think the way the game ended was fantastic, with David Pastrnak going down and ripping that clapper, and Sidney Crosby complaining the whole way, like he always does. Like, what do you want Pastrnak to do? Do you want him to just go down and dangle out his goalie and make his goalie look like a fool?
Hey, it goes right back to the whole Ottawa Senators thing, like the empty net clapper. Like, is there an appropriate way to score an empty net goal? Is there an appropriate way to take a shot at the last few seconds? Like, we're goalies. Like, we understand it. Like, I'm not going to be upset if some guy comes down, if there's still time on the clock, and takes a ripper. Like,
I would be. That would have pissed me off as a goalie, what Pastrnak did. I'll be honest with you. Dude, that's from the hash marks, and a guy wound up and took a full-on clapper.
I don't care. Whatever.
It happens to me in men's league all the time, and I get pissed.
I would rather him do that, because I can read a clapper from the fucking hash marks. All I have to do is, close down the angle. It's not like he's going to dangle me. I'd rather him do a fucking clapper so I can go stack the pads and strip his ass.
Comes back to respect.
You hear that? You hear that? I said the name of the show. I'll stack the pads. Two-pad stack. And what the two-pad stack.
Congratulations on your pun. Way to go.
There's the branding. It's branding. It's marketing. Anyways, some good, some bad, the week that was. I think we're all a little bit more keen on talking about the week that will be.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, guys? We've talked about it. You don't need to hear from us. You know this. You're a Bruins fan, hopefully. The regular season's just about kaput. We're done after tomorrow, which is when this episode's coming out.
Flew by.
So we're done tonight. Tonight's the end of the regular season. On Tuesday, the 16th of April, you're going to find out who your 7th player award winner is. You've already heard from us on who we think. You're going to have the shirts off your back ceremonies. You're going to find out if Jim Montgomery decides that it's time to rest some players. I don't know if he will. That was a Claude Julien thing. Claude Julien loved to, and Bruce Cassidy, both of them, when they got down the stretch, they had their positioning locked. They liked to sit their players. The Bruins would go like the last 3 or 4 games of the season with like all the black aces playing. You'd see like players like Zach Hamill playing games, or Alexander Kokolachev and Jack Stanika and that kind of shit.
Backa Carlson, all those guys.
Yeah, JFK. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure we're going to see that this year. And you've got Brad Marchand out there in the media. He's saying, I don't believe in rust. How old is he now? 35?
30. No, he's older than me. I think he's like 36 or 37, dude.
Fuck, I should probably know how old our captain is.
No, I mean,
he is 35. I fucking nailed it.
Marchand?
35 years old.
I don't believe it. Was he turning 36 in like a month?
Yes.
Okay. So I told you.
May 11th, he turns 36.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm not wrong.
I'm right. You're wrong. Okay. Get over it.
I don't have a problem with them not resting their players. I just want to say that.
You do or you don't?
I don't.
I don't either. Because I think rest can create rust.
Absolutely. Nice. I like that.
Rest but like rust.
But
that's
like
a, that's a t-shirt. We should go ahead and create that and put it on the merch store.
That's not to say that I don't want them to maybe reduce the minutes that some of these guys are playing. Like, you don't need Brad Marchand playing 20 minutes out there or whatever. Yeah. You can cut him back and let some of the younger bottom six forwards play. But there's something to be said about the rust factor, like you just said. I mean, that's kind of why, like, whoever plays net tomorrow night is the guy I want starting game one, which it's going to be Linus Omark that's going to play tomorrow night. Because Swayman's in net tonight as we are recording this. The Bruins are playing the Capitals. So I want that tune-up game for my goaltender to be the last game of the regular season, because you want to build something going into the playoffs. And if it's a bad game, it doesn't matter. It gives you an opportunity to correct it. It gives you an opportunity to work on it and practice over the next couple of days, but it's that final tune-up game. And I want 95% of my lineup in the playoffs playing in that game. And when I say that 5% that may be out, I'm talking about a guy like Jakub Blacko or Pat Maroon, if you want to give him another night off to go into the playoffs, like somebody like that. Brad Marchand, you're playing. Pasternak, you're playing. Zaka, you're playing. Coyle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're playing tomorrow night. So I just, I really want them to, again, reduce the minutes, but have everybody out there to keep the legs. So we'll see what happens. You know, we got a game tomorrow night. Right now, the Bruins are playing against the Capitals. And
not looking good.
I just want to touch on this for a second. We're almost through two periods of puck. We are almost through two periods of puck here. And the Bruins have 8 shots on goal to Washington's 21. Washington is clearly fighting for that playoff spot, that final 8 spot in the East. And they're playing like it. Bruins are currently down 1-0 in this game. You'll know the result by the time you hear this tomorrow. But not exactly the effort I wanted to see out of the Bruins tonight, as with the second to last regular season game.
It's feeling a lot like that Carolina game right now, honestly. Like, Washington is playing that game that you need to play to be successful down the stretch and potentially into the postseason. They're clogging up the neutral zone. They're making the opposition have to work to generate their opportunities. And right now, and I can't 100% blame them because there's not a lot to play for the Boston Bruins. The Bruins star players that can be game breakers, they're just kind of going through the motions right now. So I don't necessarily – that was a good defensive play by David Pasternak, I'll say that, which I don't say often. end of the second period, 1-0, 8 shots on goal still.
Horrible.
Awful.
Horrible.
Just going through the motions.
That was a fantastic play. I'm a little delayed. I just saw it. That probably saved a goal right there.
Yeah. Great play by David Pasternak there to save the potential goal. Let's go ahead and send you over to our good friends at DraftKings. We got a message from them. And then we also have another fresh hat trick with Patrick for this week. So we're going to send you over there now.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Right now, the Boston Bruins are trailing the Washington Capitals 1-0, and you can get the Boston Bruins at plus 145. Alternatively, you could get the Capitals with a lead at minus 190.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome on back to Pad Stack fans. The two Pad Stack, Patrick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's make some money. As always, these odds are from the king, DraftKings, the crown, DraftKings Sportsbook. Always gamble responsibly and at your own risk. That being said, let's go. We were 1-2 last time around, getting our overall record to 19-26. One of the last regular season, the last regular season, Patrick with Patrick. Here it comes for April 16th, 2024. Gamble responsibly and at your own risk. Let's go. First, we have Toronto at Florida. Toronto money line plus 110. Plus 110 Toronto Maple Leafs to beat the Florida Panthers. Number two, we have Carolina Hurricanes at Columbus Blue Jackets. Over six total goals. That's minus 110. And finally, the Boston Bruins hosting the Ottawa Senators. Plus 120 for the Bruins to win by two or more goals. That's Boston Bruins, two or more goals over the Senators. That's Carolina and Columbus over six goals. And Toronto Maple Leafs to beat the Florida Panthers. Thank you so much for listening to Pad Stack fans. The two Pad Stack, Patrick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's make some money.
All right, and we are back. So, playoffs. Next week's episode, as we've already heard, you guys have heard me talk about it. Burge is going to be, being pushed out of the nest. He's going to spread his wings and fly, yeah. And he's going to be chair one for Two Pad Stack next week. We'll probably have a guest join him, but we'll have some hockey to break down. Hopefully, you guys are able to have maybe game one to break down as a review, but I will not be here. I'll be on vacation, so I will be enjoying the beautiful Disney Orlando sun, and I'm probably going to be back on camera next time you see me. I'll be bright red like a lobster.
But kind of like me from today being outside.
Yeah, exactly. If you're watching on YouTube, yeah. But yeah, playoffs are here. Western Conference already have all eight seeds locked in. They're just fighting for you know, seeding and who they're going to end up in matches up against for their first round series. Any teams out in the West you have your eyes on that you hope to watch some games on?
I see a team for me. I'm always curious to see what Edmonton can do because of what they have, their star power and everything like that. They always fall apart in the playoffs. They've had a pretty good year this year. Let's see if their goaltending and their defense can hold up. So they're a team there to watch me. And obviously another one for me, and a lot of people aren't going to like this, but it's the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, they started off the season, you know, right atop the league with the Bruins for a while. They kind of fell off. They had some injuries, had a couple of big acquisitions at the trade deadline. So they're definitely a team that I want to watch to play. I don't really necessarily want to call them a dark horse because of the amount of talent that team has up and down the roster and behind the bench. But if they end up as an 8 seed, that's a very, very, very dangerous 8 seed. And you can kind of compare them to what Florida was last year, because Florida's coming off a President's Trophy the year before. We're an 8 seed and they made it all the way to the Cup final. I think Vegas absolutely could do that again this year. So they're a team that, on top of my list, like they've always been like my Western Conference team. And it was before Bruce was there, even since they first came into the league and they went on that run to the finals. I've always enjoyed watching them and rooted for them there. Cause it really was a cast of misfits for a while. The teams that didn't want them ended up in Vegas and they go on a run, and it was nice to see them win last year. If the Bruins weren't going to, but yeah, those are the two teams for me. How about you?
In the West, I'm really interested in seeing. So I'm gonna give you two answers. One is fraud alert. So my fraud team alert that I think is going to be a fraud, and they're gonna fall short, probably maybe even in the first round. And my team that I think will go all the way, you think, out of the Western Conference. You ready? You got any guesses who I'm gonna choose for fraud, and who I'm gonna guess for all the way?
I think your fraud alert team is going to be the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay. And my all the way team?
Colorado.
Incorrect on both accounts.
Damn.
My fraud alert is the Vancouver Canucks.
That was my next guess.
I just love to shit on the Vancouver Canucks. It brings me
an easy target. They're an easy
spiritually
target.
I ended up putting on the documentary about the riot that happened in 11 on the TV in the living room the other day, and my daughters kept looking at me like, really, did that happen? They really burned down their city because they lost? I was like, yeah, they did. You know, they're all really
beautiful city.
They're really mentally fragile people up there in British Columbia. They really care a lot about their hockey. And you know, the good news is that daddy's a better person than them, because I was very upset when the Bruins lost the cup in 2019. But you didn't see me go out and flip cars and burn anything. So the Canucks are my fraud alert team. I don't think they're good enough defensively. I'm not 100% sure on Thatcher Demko as a playoff caliber goaltender. This is the first chance the Canucks have had as a team that's actually a top end seed in a while. Good for them, because Elias Pettersson didn't want to like extend there for a while. And I think he did end up extending for 8 years or whatever, but there was some speculation that wasn't going to happen. But I don't see it from them. You know, the Bruins went out there. We played them a couple times. I'm not going to pretend like one game is a perfect encapsulation of what a team is, but I'm not sold on the Vancouver Canucks yet. I don't think they're as deep as other teams. The team that you chose for me to think that's a fraud, I think the Winnipeg Jets have a much better chance of going far than what the Vancouver Canucks do. And the reason for that is they play a very different style of game. The Canucks that are successful this year are very similar to the 11 Canucks, not quite as dynamic, not quite as skilled, but they're still a high octane offensive team. And they don't rely on, you know, systems or defense or that kind of stuff to get them across the hump. They could probably outscore their problems, but the Winnipeg Jets are a very stout defensive team, and they have been playing lights out lately. They just beat the Colorado Avalanche 7-0. And granted, we're in the silly season where it doesn't really matter. Everybody's just going through the motions. But when you have two top-end teams that are playoff locked in, it's a good opportunity to send a message, and the Winnipeg Jets did that. and then some when they did that to the Colorado Avalanche. And I think they just ended up playing the Vegas Golden Knights as well. Winnipeg was trailing 3-0 in the third, and I believe that the Winnipeg Jets came back all the way and won it in overtime in the third period. So the Jets are not actually my pick for the contender out of the West, but I think that they could easily be the Western Conference representative.
Can I have another guess at your contender? Nashville?
Not my contender.
All right, just go. I'm striking out over here.
The Dallas Stars are my contender out of the Western Conference.
You picked the best team.
I mean, I didn't pick the best team all the way across. I called the Vancouver Canucks frauds, and they're the top seed in their division. So can't say I'm picking all the obvious shit.
Fair,
but
fair.
When the Bruins played the Dallas Stars, and that was obviously my ability to watch them the closest, Dallas outplayed the Boston Bruins by a pretty wide margin. It was a great game by Jeremy Swayman to even keep it close. Mm-hmm. And then the Bruins struck quickly in succession against Jake Oettinger. I love the fact that Dallas is a very deep team. They seem to hit on every one of their goddamn draft picks, despite being a good team for the last few years. They were in the cup final recently. Obviously didn't get it done against Tampa Bay, but Jim Neal has built a really good team out there in Dallas, and it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if they're able to overcome the Vegas Golden Knights, because they could very well play them in the first round, I think. I could be wrong there. I haven't looked at the playoff structure over there, but I believe that Dallas is the most complete team out of the Western Conference, better than Edmonton. Edmonton is always going to have deficiencies on defense and goaltending. Vancouver, question marks on that side of things too. My two teams that come out of the West, like I've said, I'm going to summarize: Winnipeg and Dallas. Who are your two teams that come out of the West?
Vegas, Colorado.
Okay. We shall see. Let's switch over to the Eastern Conference. We've already talked a little bit about it based upon the Bruins games that they've played. This is a bloodbath right now. And I am so happy, stress-wise, for myself, that my team is not on this bubble right now. Because there are, five teams still battling for the final spot? Why don't you... Yeah, give us the breakdown here, Birch.
So right now, six spots in the Eastern Conference playoffs have been wrapped up. The top three in the Atlantic. And a one wild card spot from another team out of the Atlantic. So those are four teams that have locked in. From the Metropolitan, two teams, the Rangers and the Hurricanes, are the only two that have punched their ticket. They're still the three seed in the Metropolitan, as well as the final wild card spot, which it looks like no matter what, that final wild card spot is going to be the eight seed in the playoffs. So as it stands right now, today, on Monday the 15th, we may change based on the games tonight. The Islanders are currently sitting in third in the Metro with 90 points. Looks like they're, barring them absolutely blowing it in the last two games of the season, seems like that they could have their eyes on that final spot in the Metro. Right now, they're currently leading the New Jersey Devils 3-1 at the end of the second. So that would put them at 92 points with a game to go. Actually, I think that would probably clinch it for them. If I'm eyeballing the standings
meanwhile, the Red Wings are losing to the Habs 4-2.
That's tough for the Habs because the Red Wings are the one team that is fighting for that from the Atlantic, fighting for that eighth and second wild card spot.
Yeah,
so
pretty rough for the fucking Red Wings to be.
The wild thing about this, the Red Wings right now, the Capitals and the Flyers all sit at 87 points.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Philadelphia's played one more game. Penguins stood at 86 points. All have two to go with the exception of Philly and then whatever's happening tonight.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Who's going to get those five? I mean, well, let's just assume the Islanders are locked into that three spot in the Metro.
Yeah, I am assuming that, yeah.
Who's going to get that final wildcard spot?
Washington Capitals. Mm-hmm. The way that I'm seeing them play right now against the Boston Bruins and the way that they've been playing a little bit. Spencer Carberry is their coach. I believe he's a rookie coach. And I've seen some behind-the-scenes stuff. I love the way that guy communicates with his room. The guy goes in there. He's real. Reminds me of like the breath of fresh air that we had as a Boston Bruins fan base when Claude Julien was shuttered and they brought in Bruce Cassidy. And Bruce Cassidy's like, oh, yeah, this player fucked up. And we're like, whoa. Like Claude Julien would be like, oh, you know, we made some bad plays. We're going to review it as a team and we're going to make, you know, better decisions forward. Like you would never get anything of substance from Claude Julien.
Right, absolutely. And Bruce came in and he started calling players out publicly.
Yeah, and he would talk like systems and stuff too. It was like a glimpse behind the curtain that we never got before here in Boston. And I really enjoyed the way that Bruce communicated with the fans, with the media, and everything like that. Obviously, some players didn't like it very much, but that's a story for another time. Anyways, Spencer Carberry, I really like the way that he works his room. I like the way that he communicates with the media. He seems like a really intelligent guy. And to have that team that was really probably had no business even being the position that they're in right now with how many washed up old players they have. I won't call Ovechkin washed up and old quite yet, but even like their top players are all older. Like you look at John Carlson, who's playing like a Renaissance man. Mm-hmm. You look at TJ Oshie, take a step back and think about it. When did you think of TJ Oshie the most? It's during the Sochi Olympics. That shit was like 16 years ago or something now. The guy's like 36, 37 years old. You don't think of TJ Oshie as being a 36, 37-year-old veteran. He is. They have Max Pacioretty.
Pacioretty.
He's had like four ACL tears in the last 3 years, and he's out there playing. They have like a million players. They had to ship out Kuznetsov because he was so tired of playing in Washington with a bunch of old people. Not even all the coke in the world could keep him playing there. It was like, I honestly thought the Capitals were on death's door. Like when they went out and got Zdeno Chara to play past his prime, like I was like, okay, this is their last ditch effort. And even they realized that Z was cooked. Like they had to.
Does Nick Backstrom still count, even though he hasn't played since October?
Good point. That is a great point. Yeah, Nick Backstrom was like one of their top line centers going into the season. He's like, no, I can't even skate anymore. Like, I am floored with the way that Spencer Carberry has this Washington Capitals team playing, and they're playing the game the right way. They're physical. They even traded away. Who's the guy that they traded away? Anthony Mantha to Vegas. The deadline, like they dealt players away at the deadline and still are on this push. But yeah, they're my pick. I think that they're going to come in and grab that eighth seed. I'm low key glad the Bruins don't have to play them in the first round. I mean, there's still a chance, I guess. But I guess that also brings the question, like if the Bruins get a point, I think tonight they lock up the top seed in the Atlantic. So if the Bruins go into the third period and score a goal and they go to overtime, the Bruins, it might be a win.
They need 2 points.
Okay. So the Bruins end up winning tonight. I mean, they're only down by one with a really shitty performance so far. So it's definitely possible. Bruins win. They lock up the Atlantic. Would you rather them play the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Washington Capitals? If my pick is accurate. Hold on. Let's back up. I gave you my pick. Who's your pick?
Oh, Washington. Washington's my pick.
We're
pretty much aligned on that. I don't think Pittsburgh's got it. I think Pittsburgh would be a team that would get bounced easily in round one by whoever they play. Philadelphia, I think they've been an interesting story this year because nobody expected them to be in the hunt at this point, but I think that they've kind of fizzled out down there. I think they got a bright future, but. And that's and then Detroit. I don't think, based on how tonight's going, that's not going to help them at all either. So, in terms of the first round opponent for the Bruins, I don't want to see either Tampa Bay or Washington. If I'm being honest with you, I would rather play Toronto.
I don't know about that. Only because Toronto has been really good since the All-Star break. They've got like one of the top 3 points percentages since the All-Star break.
That doesn't really scare me just because of what Toronto is when the playoffs come around. their history with the Bruins in the playoffs. Like, I think that it just becomes the same thing where it's, maybe I'm talking a little bit about the past here a little too much when I'm talking about it, but like Tampa Bay is a team that I absolutely do not want to play. So you're going to make me pick Washington or Tampa Bay. I want to see Washington.
That's
Tampa Bay is a team with so they have so much talent down there. They have so I don't even care if Vasilevskiy's been kind of this year. He hasn't been kind of the same guy for most part of this year, but he's a guy that, you know, can flip that switch and turn it on at any time and bam, ruins the playoffs for everybody. So I don't want to see any part of him. They still have Stamkos down there. They have such a veteran core. Braden Point is an unbelievable player. I just, there's something about that vibe. It's kind of, I guess you could call it the reverse Toronto Bruins thing, right? It's just like, I just don't, the Bruins and Tampa in the playoffs usually doesn't mix well. It hasn't mixed well over the last, we'll call it, 8 years, 8, 9 years, where it's just every time they saw Tampa in the playoffs, it was a problem. No matter who was the better team in the regular season or what, I don't want to see them.
Who better to give this team a big dose of confidence to play than the Tampa Bay Lightning? If they're able to go in there and take care of business against the Tampa Bay Lightning, you kill the boogeyman. They could go on an absolute run.
They could.
Toronto can knock out the Bolts like they did last year, why can't the Bruins?
Sure. Yeah. It could happen. I just don't want to have to witness it. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those 6-7 game series that
it's going to be a war.
Too early in the playoffs to have my heart going like that.
I mean, my heart's going to be going like that no matter who they fucking play. Although I'm going to be at Disney. I'm not going to give a shit. I'm just kidding.
You're going to be glued in front of that TV come game time. Let's not lie. Your wife's going to take the girls out somewhere in Disney, and you're going to be sitting at a bar drinking yourself.
I'm going to be at Epcot.
To the Bruins.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Epcot, just fucking miserable. How fun would it be to see Pat Maroon against his old team, though?
That would be great. It'd be a great story. Be a great story. Just, I don't feel good about it, especially with what the Bruins have talked about doing. And I don't want to go back to the goalies, but like, we're doing something different now. We're playing against this team that has had our number, has been, I don't want to call them a dynasty because they're not.
They were a
like
dynasty.
Back-to-back cup winners, bubble or COVID cup champions, we'll call them that. We'll put the asterisks on it. But there's just so much experience and so much talent on that team. That if it clicks, especially with their goaltender, if it clicks, it's going to be a long series. Especially if the Bruins revert in the playoffs to what we expected them to be, where the scoring is tough and maybe there's some jitters early on to worry about repeating what happened last year. It seems like it's a recipe that just makes me extremely nervous. I'm not saying that they can't win, but like it makes me very, very nervous.
I if this team goes on a run this year, and I'm not saying they will, I don't see them getting a single series where it's a quick series. Everything is going to be a fight. It's all going to be 6-7 game series. So I don't believe that this team has enough skill on both sides of the puck to really create a lot of momentum and plant that seed of doubt in the opposition to really make them so they don't come out. Like you think back in like some of these series, like think back in the 2013 run when the Bruins ended up in the final, like they played the Flyers, I think in the second round, and they swept the Flyers were like just an asterisk. They're like a footnote when they summarized that season because the Bruins just were all over them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this team doing that to anyone in the postseason picture here right now. So, it'll be interesting right now. Like we said, the most likely opponents are, I think the only opponents available for the Bruins at this point are the Toronto Maple Leafs. If they just, the wheels completely fall off and the Florida Panthers win their final game, the Bruins get no points through the rest of the regular season. That's option A, probably the least likely option.
I will say this. If the Bruins lose tonight, they cannot be the one seed in the East.
Okay.
Because the Rangers have played 81 games, so they got one game. They'll be tied with the Bruins for games played after tonight. The Rangers have 112 points. The Bruins have 109. So if they lose in regulation tonight, they're basically the two
or the three.
Yeah.
They're either going to win the Atlantic or, you know, be second in the Atlantic.
That's so what it's going to come down to. So you're basically looking at Tampa Bay or Toronto.
Yeah. But if they do end up coming back and winning, they could still technically win the President's Trophy and the Eastern Conference, and the Washington Capitals could be an opponent. So there are three opponents that are available. Like we said, the Toronto Maple Leafs, if the Bruins slip back into the second place in the Atlantic, that's who they would face. If the Boston Bruins end up right where they're at, they're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. If the Bruins, Tampa Bay, Washington, or Toronto. Those are the three options.
And in about 17 minutes of game time, we'll have a pretty good idea as to what that may kind of show itself a little bit.
Yep.
But if they win, they clinch the division. They have a possibility to still play that 8 seed.
Yep, absolutely. So. Well, I would love for that to happen personally, but shout out to Backhill Beer Company. I know we've talked about them a lot. Big fan. I still work there. Probably not for tremendously longer, but we'll find out. I'm not going to be able to work there in the fall when I'm coaching.
Not when you're coaching.
No. My little beer hobby, I think, will come to an end. Still good at
You'll
drinking.
You'll still be there all the time.
Yeah, I'll be there all the time. I'm basically a celebrity there at this point. But they're celebrating 1 year of trivia at Backhill Beer Company up here in Rochester, New Hampshire. If you don't know, the Two Pad Stack podcast is a sponsor of trivia there. So congratulations on reaching 1 year. Our friends over at Fresh Entertainment, who run it, is, they've purchased some of our merch. They support the podcast. Great people. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you. I don't know if you're listening, but really happy for you guys. And we look forward to continuing our role as a sponsor for the trivia night there. Additionally, we did get some more information on the beer that's going to be coming that we're partnering with Backhill Beer Company on. So we are going to have a beautiful Pilsner or lager, a nice light, crisp beer that's going to be coming out in the September to October timeline. Make sure you plan a trip up here to Rochester, New Hampshire, to grab yourself a 4-pack when the time comes. But the beer is going to be called Out of Hibernation. And it's going to be coming out for the start of the 2024-2025 season. So stay tuned. You're going to hear more from us on social media about that. We're going to be hyping the shit out of that. It's going to be good. What better topic to wrap up today's episode with, Burge, than relocation? The Arizona Coyotes are not going to be the Arizona Coyotes much longer. This may come as a surprise to you, but many of the very well-connected insiders in the NHL media community have talked about the fact that due to the Coyotes' inability to secure a NHL quality arena in a relatively reasonable timeline, they've struck a deal with a prospective buyer out of Salt Lake City, Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz, the NBA franchise out there in Salt Lake City. Apparently, the NHL is not so happy with the Arizona Coyotes' continued attempts to maybe find something. We hope we have an arena. We always have ASU's arena that seats like 3,000 people. We can put
5,000 people. Mullet Arena or whatever it was.
Whatever, yeah, Mullet Arena. Business in the front, party in the back. The NHL has brokered a tentative agreement. Nothing's finalized yet. Keep that in mind. But the NHL is brokering an agreement between Ryan Smith's group and Alex Marullo of the Arizona Coyotes that would put the Coyotes on ice. They'd actually take them off the ice, but they'd put them on ice. They would put the Coyotes brand name and everything in stasis, essentially. They would not be a team anymore. What they would do is they would take the existing franchise and move them over with a new team a new name, new branding. They wouldn't be the Salt Lake City Coyotes. They'd have all new, brand new stuff. And they would play out of the Salt Lake City arena, which I think can hold 11,000 seats. So it's not a perfect situation, and it's a smaller market. But the owner of the Utah Jazz is willing to pay $1.2 billion to get the team. And it sounds like $1 billion will go to Alex Marullo, and he will be given the opportunity when the NHL decides to expand next, if it decides to expand next, if he can get an NHL arena in time to bring the Coyotes back into the league. So what's your take on all this?
I mean, it's a similar situation to when Quebec moved to Colorado, when Winnipeg moved to Phoenix to begin with. It was kind of the same thing where they take the franchise and they rebrand it, they rename it, they do the whole thing. I'm a little skeptical to see how hockey's going to succeed in Utah. I mean, it's going to probably pull a little bit of fandom from, I would guess, the Avalanche, if there's people in Utah that really follow hockey and that are for a local team. I just wish it was a place that was more hockey-centric. And when I say that, I mean, I badly want the Quebec Nordiques back. I've wanted them back since they moved when I was a kid.
I'm okay with that only because Patrice Bergeron isn't in the league anymore. Yeah, I was so worried that if they came back, Bergeron's like, I'm going home. Like, fuck you guys.
I love the logo. Ironically, when I was like learning to play hockey, it was the first jersey that I got. It was at the pro shop at my hockey rink, the local hockey rink. And my dad got it for me. It had no name on it. It was just a hockey jersey. It was the first one I had as a kid. I think I still got it in a bin somewhere in my attic because it's, you know, a collector's item at this point. But it just seems like they're reaching with this. And they were reaching when they moved the team to Arizona to begin with, to a desert environment, trying to grow the game there. The team really never went anywhere. They really never made any deep playoff runs. Kind of a forgotten team, and they've been a bit of a joke.
Didn't they make the Western Conference final once?
Maybe.
And I did see them, like, they did the whole whiteout thing.
I don't remember. I think they
had Mike Smith in net, and they went on like a run. So that's relatively and then the wheels recent. Fell off in the final, but whatever. But yeah, it was. I kept waiting for that team to take the next jump because they kept getting these high end talented players. I mean, they drafted in the bottom rep, like 10 for like their entire existence, but they never did it.
Like, for me, it's just another move to a market that may end up in the exact same boat. Like, you touched on the arena, smaller, it's less than ideal. Why? Like, you're gonna run into the same problem.
On that note, I mean, the Smith family that would be prospectively taking over the team, they have the money. And they've said that if they get an NHL team, they're going to build a new arena.
Okay.
And the governor of Utah and the mayor of Salt Lake City have already said, we will support this if you get a team. So they'd be building a brand new arena for both franchises, both the NBA and the NHL. So the Delta Center, I think, is the name of their arena. It's just a temporary stopgap, but still 11,000 seats in an actual professional arena. I mean, they already have a professional team there. They have an NBA franchise.
Yeah.
And you can't say the NBA is dumb. They're doing a great job generating a shit ton more revenue than what the NHL is. So, it's a smaller market. Yeah. But the good news is that they have the ownership with the moolah.
Yeah. I just wish, again, I've been beating the drum. When they were going to expand Quebec. That's a hockey area. It's Canada. Take some fandom away from the Habs. Do me a solid there too. But like, I don't know. I'm skeptical, but I'm a cynic. I've been a cynic since I've been on the podcast with you here. So like, I'm skeptical about it, but let's see what happens. I mean, anything's going to be better than what they're dealing with right now in Arizona. So I'm willing to give it a shot.
No, honestly, this is due. And I know that sucks. I feel bad for the people that are genuine Coyotes fans from Arizona. I do. And the work that the NHL has done is not being ignored, and it's not, you know, irrelevant. You see what hockey has grown into in the Arizona community. The top goal scorer this year, probably the top goal scorer in American history, Austin Matthews. He's from Arizona. The only reason why he's an NHL player right now is because of the Arizona Coyotes and the NHL's investment in the area to create grassroots hockey work there. There's a big community in the Scottsdale area that's also playing hockey now. Josh Doan, son of Shane Doan, grew up there. He played for ASU. Hockey in the desert will work. They need to have an owner that has his head out of his ass and has, you know, a modicum of intelligence and hockey sense. Like, you have to know hockey in order to run a hockey business.
Yes.
You can't be a businessman and come in there and be like, oh yeah, I want a hockey team. Like, you've got to literally know hockey. It's a different beast entirely. And the Coyotes haven't had that privilege. You cited the Atlanta Thrashers as another team that failed and had to get moved. That's not on Atlanta as a market. That's on their ownership situation.
It's happened twice now, though, in Atlanta.
Both times are shitty ownership. So I don't know if you know this, but, and we're wrapping up here soon, but the Atlanta Thrashers' most recent time when they moved to Winnipeg is because they were owned by a board. There was no one figurehead big hockey fan that owned the team. It was a board of corporate people that only cared about profits. And if you only care about profits and you don't know about hockey, you're not going to A-OK the investments that need to be made in order to foster a strong hockey community, the culture that it takes to win. Do you think the Bruins, and I shit on Jeremy Jacobs a lot, and Charlie Jacobs and the Jacobs family. For a while there, they were not a good family to lead this franchise. There's a lot of passion in Boston. Boston is a hockey town, and it seemed like the Jacobs family were prioritizing dollars and cents more than what needed to be done to facilitate a productive on-ice product. That shifted since Jeremy Jacobs implemented the salary cap with the league. He's investing in the team. We're always a completely right up against the cap team. We're always competitive. He's investing in the team. He built Warrior Ice Arena. That's now a state-of-the-art training facility. They're not playing over at fucking Restuccia Arena anymore. Like, this is the stuff that needs to be done in order to create a top-tier culture and a team that players want to be a part of and a team that fosters winning. That's never going to be done by somebody that doesn't understand hockey. And the only reason why the Jacobs family is able to do it is because they brought people in to consult that do know hockey. They brought, say what you want about Cam Neely, he knows hockey. Say what you want about Don Sweeney, he knows hockey. They played it, they did it, they were Bruins.
And they listened to him. The Jacobs listened to him. So yeah, like you said, say what you want about them being greedy a-holes, whatever. They're listening to the right people at the end of the day, and for the product on the ice.
Alex Murillo doesn't know hockey, but Alex Murillo likes his Latin heritage, which I don't blame him whatsoever. That's a great thing for the community down there in Arizona. As the whitest guy you know, I don't blame you. I love that. Embrace that local market. That's what you have to do. But you don't know shit about hockey. And you're running this Coyotes franchise like you're running a used car dealership.
Yep.
It's a hockey team. It's not a fucking business. Okay? So, on that rant, I think we're at time here. We got to wrap this up. I want to watch the end of this game. Any closing thoughts, Burge, as we roll into the postseason?
I'm ready for playoff hockey. It's the best time of year. It's the absolute best time of year out of any sport. Puts the NBA's stupid play-in tournament to shame. The NFL is a one-game playoff, so it's different. It doesn't have teams fighting each other the whole way. And baseball's just baseball. Like, I don't really... Meh. That's what I have to think about that. But the environment in the building when you go to a playoff game, you see Geek. Unbelievable intensity. The atmosphere. Everybody's there watching the game. You're not having people there for business meetings or anything like that. You're there to watch the game. And the environment is intense. Having been to multiple game sevens in the playoffs, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. So let's go. Let's get the playoffs going. I'm ready to do it.
16 to history, boys.
That's all you need.
16 wins when the puck drops on Saturday. So on behalf of myself and Burge, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Thanks for joining us for episode 37 of the Two Pad Stack podcast. Burge, we'll catch you guys next week. I'll be hanging out with the mouse. And until then, we'll see you later.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Two Pad Stack. Our passion is hockey. From Beer League to the Bruins, we friggin' love it. We love the Patriots, too. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter and TikTok at TwoPadStackPod. And find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching TwoPadStack. See you next time on the TwoPadStack.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.